Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I actually bought a lot of properties and then sort of just lived them for a while, then just kept doing the same thing, you know, adding more properties to my portfolio until the point where I said, okay, look, I think I have enough at the moment. So what am I going to do with them?
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyron Shum, and in this episode, we're back with Siva Raj, property advisor at Mantra Wealth. With his hobby of property investment now his profession, he shares the steps he took to develop a formula and stick with it, launching him into a career of subdivision stardom. Plus, hear the bad habit that nearly stopped it all from happening. Raj recounts one of his earlier projects where he performed the classic look before you leap maneuver every investor is sure to be familiar with.
So I bought this. I was so excited. I jumped in, secured the property, not looking at, you know, what are the things that I need to do at the time to actually make this whole thing work. There was challenges in that where, you know, obviously, these challenges comes in when you start working on it. So I got to a point where I had to, you know, I was almost, I have almost given up saying, look, I can't make this work because couldn't get the services or couldn't get the connections to a new lot. But mainly due to the slope on the property. When I looked at the property for the first time, I was like, oh, it's quite flat. But when you go through the technical, they say, oh, sorry, mate, it's sloping back, or, you know, sloping to the rear. Anyway, so that was the biggest issue that I had, is that not knowing what to do and, trying to find a solution, you know, by yourself was a tough challenge. And it took me a while to get this find a solution for it, and thankfully I was able to find a solution with the help of a number of professionals complete that project. So it was quite a challenging at the time. Now, you know, you're learning, every day you're learning. So that was one of my challenges. I don't know if it's the worst of the worst or not, but it is for me, it was a quite a challenging time.
He bought it as an investment property with the goal of increasing his capital growth by keeping the property and build a new one on the side.
It actually came about one of the agents that I dealt with previously, and he just called me casually and said, look, I have a property that it's not on the market. Do you want to have a look at it? You know, it's something that you may like, or you may want to get into. When he said subdivision, I was like, oh, what is this subdivision? So he actually explained to me what I could do, and then I was very excited. I didn't think too much. I pretty much jumped into it.
And where was this property?
This one is actually in Queensland. So I was actually still in Sydney at that time. So it was the distance made it a bit more challenging, but I actually learned a lot more how you actually mitigate these risks. So it's a simple one, just a splitter. So it was a simple one, But look, even a simple one, you know, for the person who, you know, starting off, is quite a challenge.
After he finished university, he leveraged his computer science degree to land an IT role. From there, he moved into one of the apartments he had purchased.
And then I only thought, okay, I'm not going to buy a house to live in because it's going to hinder my capacity. So whatever the minimum that I'm going to spend on living, then everything else, I'm going to put it to purchasing an investment property. So for probably about 5 years into it, 5 to 6 years into it, actually I've started investing quite heavily on land. When I say land, means that, you know, house and the land, or house with, you know, some significant amount of land where you can do something in the future. So I didn't think that I'm going to do something now. I was always thought about the long-term benefits. So that's why I stopped actually buying units. So I said, okay, the house is a way for me to go because it add much more value in 10 years than it would at the time. That's what my thoughts were. Add value by the market condition, not by you doing anything, just the market condition. So I just bought and held. And what I was able to do is when the when there's a capital increase or equity increase, I was able to recycle those to a new property. So I didn't actually have to have too much too much cash or savings, but I was able to recirculate that equity to buy the next property. I guess that time that I was really starting to do this was just before the financial crisis that happened. And you can really negotiate, like even in Sydney at that time, you can really negotiate. People, it was buyer's market, where I remember going to an auction and there was only two people, and then the person just stopped. I wasn't even reached to my amount that I wanted to pay. They just stopped like maybe 50,000 lower than what I was going to pay. So it was a good time. So I actually bought a lot of properties and then sort of just left them for a while, then just kept doing the same thing, adding more properties to my portfolio, until the point where I said, okay, look, I think I have enough at the moment. So what am I going to do with them? And how am I going to, by the time it became a passion for me, this became real, it made quite real. It's like, oh yeah, I can do this. And at the, like I said, I was always doing, watching seminars or going to seminars, and a lot of other people have done it, in the 90s, even earlier. A lot of people have a lot of good ideas. And all I did was just implementing some of those ideas from that point onward.
With his ability to leapfrog to each property using the appreciated values, he reveals the key that opened all the doors for him.
The key was buying under market, because look, by the time you, if you pay overpay, by the time you wait for the equity increase, you're waiting for too long, natural market gains. So I think the key was I was in the right time and I was in the right mindset. When GFC hits, a lot of people tend to pull back and say, okay, what's going to happen? So I think that's probably the time that you can capitalize a bit more.
When you purchase these blocks, did they also have houses on them for you to be able to service them?
I actually bought properties with houses on them. So I didn't buy vacant land, or I didn't buy off the plan blocks. It's my opinion, or I was comfortable with. It's probably not for everyone. A lot of different people do with different strategies, but this is something that worked for me, and I was comfortable with that part.
And were you just investing mostly in Queensland and New South Wales, or did you go into other states as well?
When I initially started, I invested heavily in Sydney. That actually made more sense for me, heavily doing in Sydney, because the market was actually by 2013 or 14, the market actually started accelerating. So I was able to then use this more equity from Sydney properties and purchase more somewhere else where the market is still steady, hasn't moved much. So look, the key is to finding opportunities. Not worry about the hypes, what you see in the media and things like that. Look, you got to do what's right for you. What are your gut feeling?
There have been many aha moments that have popped up along his journey, but one in particular stands out.
I was actually doing a small development and realized that all this hard work that you're putting in, you're getting involved, a lot of the professionals to help you. And just realized that, oh, it's a formula to this. This is not just, something that you're trialing and erroring. There is a formula to it. If you stick to this formula, you can actually scale this up. I think in any field, people if they understand there's a formula that you can replicate, you can scale. So that was the aha moment. So that's when it actually hit me, and like, okay, so I'm going to only focus on one very niche area. I'm going to replicate what I've done and been successful with it, just replicate at a bigger scale. That's an eye opener for me at that time. I was like, looking back and say, oh, this is, if I can do one, what does it stop me from doing two or five or 10 or 15? So having that formula in place really helped me, and stick to the formula, stick to what you know.
Coming up after the break, Raj shares the one tip he would give to any aspiring investor.
You can't go past that, because not doing it properly, it actually hurts you later.
How no one strategy is easier than another. They just may have different challenges.
We bought the property and then we thought, okay, we will just invest it. We won't do anything. I'll just invest it.
He reveals the driving force behind why he does what he does and what turned his hobby into a career.
So in order for me to excel, this was something that, I can do it much faster, in a faster pace. And I can learn, and something that I actually was passionate about.
And that's up next. I'm Tarun Sham, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, let's be real. Deals that can yield 20 to 30% per annum do exist. Don't believe me? Well, here's a story about property development I invested in Victoria. This developer had the project fully funded beforehand, but he and his family suffered a loss, a circumstance that led him to be unable to proceed with the development. So I stepped in, and in 2 weeks, we funded the shortfall, allowing for the development to continue. 5 months later, the development was refinanced, and we received our funds back with interest. Yes. There are amazing opportunities in the property market like this one. So, do you want to get a better return with lower risk on your money? Then register your interest by visiting propertyinvestory.com. Raj divulges his strategy and his formula with the aim to help others in their ventures. If you expect it to be too difficult to comprehend, here's some good news for you.
The formula is quite simple. It's to find the right property, in terms of the cost of the property, instead of the location, and so finding the right property is the key. And then doing your due diligence after that is not you can't go past that, because you know, not doing it properly, it actually hurts you later. So, you know, finding the right property, doing a diligence, and having a goal of what you're going to do with it, and then making sure that this is the it's financially feasible. You know, it's not going to, you don't want to be doing stuff just for fun and losing money out of it. You want to make sure that it's financially feasible. Make sure that you cover all your exits strategies, cover your, you know, all your costs that's involved with whatever you're doing. And lastly, having to be able to replicate this, to have a team of professionals, you know, all different fields that they can help you complete this.
With the right strategy, formula, and property being different from one investor to the next, he reveals the ingredients he uses.
For me, I early on, I sort of set myself, like I said, this is what I want to do. And this is the right strategy for me to find the, you know, a bigger block of land and then capitalize on that. Most of my developments been subdivisions. So the reason I didn't go into too many other ventures is because I wanted to get into just subdivision. But in terms of subdivision, you know, there are other way to subdivide, not just the land. So I actually end up buying a block of units, and then I actually went through a subdivision process. I actually bought the block of units as an investment initially, but then I saw that opportunity that, look, this is a great opportunity to start a title then. So I went through the process. Every project I've done, there's some learning. So yes, some challenges. So going through the so I didn't want to go outside that. I just wanted to do mainly, you know, start a subdivision or land subdivision. So that's been a really good project for myself. If I think back, I was like, yeah, a lot of people wouldn't take that challenge because there's so many unknowns. But I was eager to try, you know, some different type of, maybe slightly, to the same goal, but slightly different type of things I wanted to try out. So it was a great challenge, but look, these things are hard to come by in the nowadays. So I haven't pursued that path.
The block contained 8 units, which he sought out once he had all his ducks in a row.
I was always looking into, because I was always looking into growing the capital, more toward capital growth. So if I were to buy a unit, one unit out of that block, at the time, my opinion was it'll take too long. So I was just thinking, I was actually thinking out loud, and I've seen a couple of other people do it. And then I'll start looking for a block of unit because I had a bit of equity saved up, and also I had, you know, finance lined up. So some opportunity came in. I said, okay, fine, let's try it. You know, bought the property, and then we thought, okay, we will just invest it. We won't do anything. I'll just invest the invest. But I, as I learned more and more about strata subdivision, I thought, oh, it's pretty good, and it's much easier than other subdivision that I've done. But look, I wouldn't say it's, let me correct myself. It's not easier. It has a different challenges. So I decided, okay, let's give it a go. And then, yeah, that was a really good project that I can't forget. There's a lot of challenges, but I can't, yeah.
I guess what I'm curious about is, like, what kind of challenges did you face?
There are many challenges because when they're already on one block, which means that they probably don't have, all the services are not split up. So that was the biggest challenge, trying to split all the services, metered separately to each of the units, and also making sure that, you know, it's in, you know, good order to sell, and and then, you know, working with councils and other professionals to, you know, satisfy all the necessary requirements, which, you know, I wouldn't, you know, you would think that there's, you know, that not many, but there are a lot of requirements to satisfy. It was a good project, because a lot of it was, you know, getting the right people in to do the work.
Let's sort of form a little case study around this. Like, how much did you buy this block of units for?
I got to recall, but it's about 550, around that 550 mark, I think, each block. Yeah, something around that 450 mark, I think.
Yeah. So you bought the block of units for 450. How much would you say you had to put in to actually subdivide it?
Look, not much. I think we would have spent about less than 100K. Yeah, because the units were positioned and how the units were given accessibility to, you know, doing the service without doing any major changes.
And say on that 100K, was that actually the physical work, or was it some of it goes towards the council?
Generally, when those council, not it's not that much, because they have already paid their contribution. Whoever built it, they've already paid the contribution. So it's not toward the council. It's more toward getting the certifications and more toward getting the the services in place. So it's been separating the services.
Yeah, it's always that's the challenge too. And I guess at the end of it, how much do you think that the property's been valued, or have you kept the property, or have you sold the property?
Unfortunately, I had to sell the properties because I had another project lined up straight after that. So one of those, yeah, you know, sometimes you regret things that you sell. I actually didn't realize initially that once you have different title, you're paying, you know, 8 rates suddenly, and actually that becomes much harder to hold, because it would have been a, you know, positively geared property, then suddenly it's you know, came to neutral or something like that. So that made me realize, oh no, I shouldn't have done this. It's a good learning curve for me. Unless you want to sell, you should have kept it as in one title. Yeah.
At the end of the day, he sold it with a 20% increase, which was well worth the time and effort he put into it. However, it took longer than he expected.
I wasn't expecting to start a title and sell. I was expecting to actually start a title and, revalue the property and get a more capital equity out of it. So it took me roughly around about a year and a bit to do.
That's still pretty good. I mean, like, for you to have a 20% increase for a year, most people don't usually achieve that result for any properties that they usually buy and hold. So
yeah, it's true. But look, there's a lot of work went behind it. So it wasn't just buying. It's not a passive. It wasn't a passive investment. In the hindsight, I should have just kept it and not subdivided it.
The reason why Raj started on his property investment journey stems from his past experiences and wanted to achieve what he had previously considered impossible.
The property was one of those things that when I bought the first property, gave me at least a slight bit of financial security. Look, obviously the bank owned the unit, but even then, just mentally felt like, you know, you have some kind of financial security. In order for me to excel, this was something that I can do it much faster, in a faster pace, and I can learn. And something that I actually was passionate about. It was hobby, and I was passionate about it. So, if you ask me why it's it's to have a financial security, and you know, something that you when you buy and invest, you are actually increasing your value over time without doing much. So that's the reason. Look, financial security would be that main reason. Knowing the background, you knowing the background where I come from. So at the time, this was the best decision for me. So I thought I should pursue this path to see where it takes me. And also, look, lot of the people who in Australia who gone through this process and they're quite successful.
Along the journey, have you had any particular resources or mentors that you could share with us that's been really impactful for you?
In terms of property, this is, I can name a lot of guys who, they share their knowledge with a lot of, people who are starting up. But generally, it's been for me is, self-improvement books that really, really helped me through the whole mindset and, want to get into this. And I met a lot of buyer's agents who actually, initially I bought a lot of my properties through buyer's agents. They have built up knowledge, but I just don't want to name anyone because I don't want to miss anyone. They helped me through. Look, they played a part, and I'm grateful for some of the guys who, shared their knowledge. Obviously, you're paying a fee, but it's the knowledge that they carry, the knowledge that they can give you is more important.
In pondering what he could tell the Siva Raj of 10 years ago, he realizes he could be telling a different story than he is now.
I would have said, stop wasting time. It's look, stop procrastinating, because I did a lot of procrastinating before. That's why I from my first one to the second one was a long period. It's almost 6 years for the first one, the second one. So procrastinating was one of those things that go back and tell myself, it's like, please don't do that. Either you let go, or just don't procrastinate. Just get on with it. Get yourself to in the right place, and maybe also having the confidence to seize that opportunity when it presents itself. Because a lot of the time, just give you just a context. A lot of the time, I look at it and say, "Oh, this is the right one. Am I making a mistake?" So just have to be confident with yourself. You're making the right decision with the information that you have at that time. Seize that opportunity. And also open for the opportunity to come.
So, looking ahead, then, what are you most excited about in your journey in, say, the next 5 years?
Because I have gone through a few different paths. So, in the next 5 years, the next 5 years. So, looking at what I've done and looking at what I can do. So, I've always been challenging myself, to lift that bar higher, because when you are in this uncomfortable position, that's when you can actually make change to the current situation. So I've always, trying to find a way how I can lift this bar so that I can, jump higher, or, at least try to jump higher. I've always been setting my goals higher and higher since the time I started. Keeping this with this pace, I've already started a new path. What I want to do for the next five years is to go toward more commercial kind of investments and development, mainly because it's more challenging, more rewarding. There's a lot of more components to it that you had to bring it together. A lot more things that you need to pull together to make it work. And it is challenging, exciting. and rewarding. So that's the part that I have already started taking. So in the next 5 years, I think, I'll be focusing more on that part.
Last question for you really is to ask you is, how much of your success is due to your skill, intelligence, and hard work? And how much of it do you think is because of luck?
More than the skills and, intelligence, it's the mindset. You got to have the right mindset. Look, I know a lot of books out there. Look, if you can set your mindset and you have a particular mindset to achieve success, you'll get to it. And also having a your partner or your wife or whoever it is have the similar mindset. You can do it much faster, much easier. If I were to go back, looking back at it, I would say the luck wasn't a big didn't play a big role in my situation. Mostly it's been hard work.
Thank you to Siva Raj, our guest on this episode of Property Investory. If you love the show, perhaps you're now ready to invest your money in a low-risk, high-return deal. If you are, then SMS me your name and email address on 0499881040 to become a lender. There are amazing opportunities in the property market right now, and I'm looking for lenders who want to invest their money for as short as 6 months. What are you waiting for? Don't let your money just sit in the bank. To register your interest, text me your name and email address on 0499881040.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.